let's review. Our Gemara began by quoting from the Tosefta on Daf Vav, which we've been analyzing over the past two blot. Acherim Eirim is skufa mishameshet shtei rishuyis. An eskufa, a threshold between the rishus hayachid and the rishus harabim, can at times function as one or the other rishus, depending on the circumstances. When the door is open, the eskufa is considered as part of the inside area, the rishus hayachid. And when the door is closed, it's considered as part of the outside area, the rishus harabim. The Gemara at this point assumed that Acherim are talking about a threshold at the entrance to Amavoy, which is an alleyway closed off at one end and open to the rishus harabim on the other end. When the door to the Mavi is open, the threshold is connected to the rest of the Mavi and we may carry in it. When the door is closed and the threshold is cut off, it becomes part of the Rishus Haram and we can't carry in it anymore. However, Acherim mentioned nothing about needing a lechi at the entrance of the Iskufa. David the Gemara asks, V'amrav chama bagur yomarav, toicha pesach tzarech lechi acher lahatiroi. According to Rav Chama Baguria, not only do we need a lechi at the inner part of the entrance to allow carrying inside the Mavi, but in order to carry in the area of the Iskufa, which is generally four tzvachim deep, another lechi would be required at its opening. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Hacha b'Iskufas Mavo Yeskinon. However, Chetzi Mekura v'Chetzi She'ein Mekura. Yehuda explains that Acherim are talking about a Mavi where a Kaira, a crossbeam, was placed over the inner half of the threshold to his entrance. Now, contrary to a lechi, where you can only carry from within its inner edge, a Kaira allows you to carry from within its outer edge. So when the door is open, the iskufa is connected to the rest of the mavi. Therefore, you can carry on the part of the iskufa that's under the kaira. But when the door is closed, the iskufa is no longer connected to the mavi. And since the kaira is generally only one tefach wide, the area under the kaira cannot be considered its own independent area. Therefore, the kaira by itself does not have the ability to allow you to carry underneath it. Rav Ashi, however, says, the iskufa is bayisaskin. The Acherim are talking about a case of an entrance to a house, where its threshold is covered by two separate kairas, one towards the inside and one towards the outside of the iskufa, with the door hung between them. Therefore, says Acherim, that when the door is open, the crossbeams are considered as one through loved. Since there is less than three tefachim space separating the two beams, it creates one continuous rishus, or an area of four tefachim, which is covered by beams, and therefore we are allowed to carry there. However, when the door is closed, it effectively separates the two crossbeams where each one alone does not have the ability to allow you to carry underneath it. The Gemara then examines the last part of the Tosefta. Vim hoisa iskufa gevaya yud v'rechava dalad harizu rishus la'atzma. If the threshold is 10 tefachim handbreadths high within the 4x4 tefachim surface area, then it counts as its own rishus hayachid. So you can't carry from the house to the threshold since they are two separate rishus hayachids. The Gemara says that this supports the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who said that kol makom shata moitzi shtei rishuyos v'heim rishus achas. If there are two separate rishuyos areas, which are the same type, like our example of two rishus hayachids side by side, you cannot carry from one to the other. The example he gives is a post in rishus hayachid, which is big enough to count as its own distinct rishus hayachid. You cannot put something on it because that would be carrying from one rishus hayachid to another. The Gemara Namad Beis presents the next Mishnah, which talks about activities one should not do once it's time to daven mincha, because you might end up getting caught up in them and miss mincha altogether. The Mishnah says, "L'yeshiv adam lefnei hasafer samach lemincha ad sheyispal." One shouldn't sit down for a haircut close to mincha time unless he already daven. Also, one shouldn't go to a bathhouse or a tannery or sit down to a meal or to judge a court case. However, if you did begin any of these activities, the Mishnah says, "Ein mafsikin." You don't need to stop in the middle to daven. You can finish what you're doing and then daven mincha after. The Mishnah concludes by saying, "Mafsikin lekriyishma." If it's time to say kriyishma, you must stop in the middle. However, ve'ei mafsikin letfila, but you don't have to interrupt in order to say Shema Neser. The Gemara began by asking, "What did the Mishnah mean when it said samach lemincha? Hi samach lemincha? Which of the two mincha times is the Mishnah referring to? It can't mean mincha gedayla because that's so early in the day. We shouldn't need to worry about missing mincha if we do any of these activities, since there is really so much time left in the day to say it." Therefore, we must say that the Mishnah must mean close to mincha ketana. Since you only have 2.5 hours left in the day, we're concerned that if you start an activity, you might get caught up and miss mincha. Therefore, you shouldn't start those activities unless you've already davened. If so, ask the Gemara. Name mitavatiyuf to Reb Shuben Levi. If the Mishnah is referring to mincha ketana, then it seems to disagree with Reb Shuben Levi, who says that once it's mincha ketana time, you can't even eat a small amount of food before you daven. But our Mishnah is saying that once mincha ketana arrives, you may eat as long as you started your meal earlier. The Gemara answers, "Loi, lo'olam samach lemincha gedayla." The Mishnah is actually talking about Mincha Gedolah. So it isn't contradicting anything about Rabbi Shimon Levi said, since he was talking about Mincha Ketana. Now, as for the question of why you can't do these activities even though there is so much time left in the day, the Gemara answers that each of the Mishnah's cases is actually referring to very long activities. When the Mishnah says a haircut, for example, it's referring to the type of haircut that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, used to get. That haircut took an extremely long time. And a meal means a large, long suda. That's why Chazal were worried that if one begins these activities, he may forget about davening mincha all the way to the night. The Gemara then looks to define the starting point for each of the activities the Mishnah mentioned. Since the Mishnah said that once you start, you don't have to interrupt, the Gemara wants to know, when is it considered to have started? Me'emesai haschalas tesparis. When is the beginning of a haircut? From the time you put on the barber's cloth, which protects you from getting hair all over you. Me'emesai haschalas merchitz. You're considered to have begun a session in a bathhouse from the time you remove your first article of clothing. And when is the beginning of a meal? Chanina said, from the time you loosen your belt. But Rav said, from the time you wash your hands to eat. The Gemara explains that they're not actually arguing. Reb Chanina lived in Bavel, where people wore tight belts. But Rav lived in Eretz Yisrael, where they didn't wear tight belts. And so they didn't loosen them to eat. Therefore, he gave a different sign to tell when the meal begins.